What's up, guys? Welcome to episode 16 of Think Computer's weekly tech podcast, where we kind of geek out and talk about tech. This episode is brought to you by Amazon. Amazon is kind of our go-to store when we go ahead and, you know, pick up our gadgets and all of our computer hardware. So if you're going to go ahead and purchase something from Amazon, we urge you to go to thinkcomputers.org/Amazon, and that kind of helps us out and keeps this podcast going. With me this morning, as always, I have Derek. What's going on with you, Derek?
Not much, Bob. How you doing? You recovering from that week last week?
Yes, recovering from Computex week, which was kind of crazy. If you guys listened to our last podcast, Computex week, of course, was last week. So we don't have as much tech news this week, which I guess I kind of like. I don't know.
On one hand.
Yeah, it's weird because we go from this week that's completely insane, and it's kind of awesome because that's, you know, Computex is kind of where we're going to see everything that's going to come out for the rest of the year when it comes to computer hardware, and we got to see a lot of stuff. And this week is kind of just a little slow down. Not as much stuff. We have a lot of AMD stuff, which we'll definitely get into this week. But let's just go ahead and start out with reviews this week. Our first review was a case review, a full tower, which is something we haven't really taken a look at lately. It is the Inwin 707. So this is their full tower. Pretty decent case. Came out last year, I believe. So it is a pretty nice looking full tower. Not you, Derek, but the other Derek reviewed it. He gave it a 9 out of 10. And for a full tower, it's like $130, $140, which isn't that expensive.
Yeah, especially when you're talking Inwin.
Yeah, so pretty good case. Again, very good for the price. So if you're looking to really do some crazy, either crazy water cooling or a lot of storage you can fit in here, or you looking for a case that can fit the larger motherboards, this would be the case to do it. And it looks pretty great. It has a side panel window. Yeah,
pretty basic square design. I saw this case at CES this past year. Yeah. It's a pretty nice case. I'd say it's kind of on the same level, not as many of the same unique features, but on the kind of the same level as a lot of the NZXT cases, like the Phantom and things that are right around the same price range.
Yeah, it's that type of case. It's not, you know, the crazy Inwin high end case, but again, for $140 full tower, you really can't go wrong there. So yeah, kinda, yep. I don't know if I like the colors as much, but that's just my opinion. Yeah.
It's black and red. It just depends on what you're going for.
Yeah, so moving on from that, I took a look at a really cool product, which I'm actually still using because I like it so much, was the Asus Strix Tactic Pro Gaming Keyboard. And this is, I believe this was the first Strix keyboard from Asus. So Strix is their gaming line, and it's their gaming line, but it's their kind of middle ground gaming line, because they have the Republic of Gamers, which is their high-end gaming line, and now they have a Strix line, which it follows the same thing. Like, they have Strix video cards as well, and they're like right, the mid-range type of video card, and now they have, of course, accessories. So this is the Tactic Pro, and you can get it in pretty much all Cherry MX flavors, and you know, you can kind of pick what you want. The one I received had Cherry MX brown switches, which I really like. I was using Cherry MX blues before, and browns are pretty much the same, except for they're not as loud when you actually use it, like, you know, when you're actually using the keyboard. So you have
less clacky.
Yeah, less kind of click. I did like that. The keyboard is 100% illuminated. There's actually 21 different macro keys. And but the thing that's really good about this keyboard, it's not massive. Like, it's not overly large.
That's what I was wondering, because a lot of times those keyboards are just too big.
Yeah, so they've spread them out across the keyboard, which I really like. They're really easy to use. There's actually three macro keys that are below the spacebar. We saw that with Rocket does that on a few of their keyboards, and I really liked it because it's very easy when you're playing a game to move your thumb off a space bar and then go ahead and hit one of those keys.
That's not a bad idea.
Yeah, at least for me it is. Again, very good keyboard. The only thing I didn't like was the software was very, very lacking. It allows you to set all your macros and that's about it. You can't do anything with the illumination, which isn't a big deal, but that all can be done, you know, on the keyboard itself. It's just there wasn't a lot of customization there. There wasn't, you know, I don't know. It just didn't.
Yeah, especially when that kind of is like, it's almost part of a benchmark for a keyboard these days.
Yeah.
It's having a good suite of software.
Yeah, so, and I, you know, we know Asus for really great motherboard software.
Yeah.
So,
they're great.
The BIOS and their AI Suite 3 is some of the best software. So I was like, oh, this is going to be awesome, you know, having this great software. And it just wasn't, it's just not good software. That's the only downfall. But if you're not really, you know, another big thing about the software was the macros. So there, you again, you can do 21 different macros on this keyboard, but they had to be named macro 1, macro 2, macro 3. The software didn't let you change the name. I went to try and change the name and it didn't let me. So I don't know if it's an issue with the software, obviously, because if I'm doing macros and I don't remember which one macro 13, what it does, I have to go in and see what it does and then, you know, set it to the key. Yeah, I just didn't like that.
It'd be so easy to make it so you can change the name.
Yeah, so I don't know if it's just an issue or it's just something they haven't really looked into. I definitely pointed it out in the review. But overall, it's still a really good keyboard. I'm still using it right now, and I don't see myself not using it. It has full N-key rollover over USB as well. So that means every key that you press will actually be, you know, recorded.
Yeah.
Typically, with USB keyboards, you can only hold down 6 keys at a time. Right. And so now you can hold down pretty much all the keys, and they will all be... you know, recorded, of course, which is great. In gaming, you don't want to miss a keystroke or something like that. Good keyboard for sure. I took a look at a solid-state drive from a new company called MTech. It is a Phison S10-based solid-state drive. It's their SSD Power Plus, which is and I reviewed the 120 gig. It goes up to 480 gig. The 120 gig, of course, it just performs just up to the specifications, you know, but being that it's 120 gigs, the writes are extremely slow. So like 160 megs a second write. And that's because that there's not enough parallelism with the NAND. So if there's less chips on it, it's not writing to as many chips at once. That's just kind of how SSDs work. You know, to perform, to have their peak performance, that's kind of, they need to...
Yeah, you need more NAND to spread it over.
Yeah.
It seems slow, though. That seems like the first solid-state drive I had slow, like I think a 30 gig.
Yeah, that's kind of what was weird about this, because it's based off Phison S10, which we reviewed quite a lot of drives. This is one of the only companies that offer the 120 gig, for one.
Yeah, and it's like an obsolete size almost.
Yeah, and two is that their 240 gig still has slower speeds than other 240 gigs that we reviewed that are based on the same Phison S10. So I'm guessing that I would assume because they have slower speeds and their 480 is also slower too. Which is kind of weird because they're all based on the same controller. But the only thing is it's either the NAND that they're using, or they haven't optimized their firmware.
Yeah, NAND is pretty common. I'd almost think it wouldn't be the NAND, and probably just the firmware isn't as developed being such a new company.
Yeah, that's kind of what I've gathered from it. So I really couldn't recommend this drive for somebody who's obviously doing a lot of writing to the drive. It's very inexpensive. This drive is $44.99 for the 120 gig. So
that is a pretty good deal.
Yeah, so it's very inexpensive. And if you're looking for something, again, that you're not doing a lot of writes to, you're just reading the drive, it wouldn't be that big of a deal, really. So the only thing that really, you know, that's really good about this is that, one, it's based on Phison S10, which we've covered, you know, for a couple months now. It's a very good controller, the whole suite of all the features that you get with it. And then the price of this drive is just very, very good. You know, so
a couple things there.
Yeah. But... so if you're, you know, if you're kind of in dire need, the 120 gig again is $44.99. So that's kind of what saves it, but the write speeds are extremely slow, so if you're looking for something else...
Although I suppose it's still faster than traditional hard disk drives.
So. Yes, it's much faster than that. So, yeah, good, you know, for their first round of, I would say, SSDs, it's not that bad. I would assume, again, that they just need to do some work on the firmware, and they could have much faster speeds there. Because, again, everybody else who has a drive that's based off this, you know, has a... Yeah, so... So we'll move
on. Good luck to them.
Yeah. Yep. We'll move on from that and take a look at our last review of the week, which was a Bluetooth speaker from Luxa 2. It was their Groovy A, and I actually liked it.
Cool.
Bluetooth speakers are typically pretty boring. This one isn't, you know, that crazy, but it comes in this aluminum stand that allows you to sort of angle the speaker up, which gives you a better listening experience. But it also, I think that part of the reason that's in that stand is because it's actually quite loud. And I don't know if you've had any Bluetooth speakers that are really loud, but when you play a song that has bass, the speaker actually moves. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It kind of rumbles around. And that's this stand actually, you know, because I was actually holding, like, feeling the actual speaker part. And you could tell that it was going to rattle. But because it's in that stand, it doesn't rattle. It's a 7-watt audio output, 15 hours of playback. Of course, it's, you know, it's one of the smaller Bluetooth speakers, but sort of in, like, you know, the rectangular type shape. I liked it. Can't go wrong with the price. It's $80. It does come with a carrying bag, which not a lot of Bluetooth speakers do.
Nope.
And I think it has a lot to do with the aluminum stand, because if you're traveling with this, that's going to scratch certain things in your...
That's kind of what I was thinking. It almost looks a little ungainly, but...
Yeah, that's kind of...
Like it swivels on you on accident.
Oh, no, no, not at all.
You mess some stuff up.
No, it doesn't swivel.
No?
The stand doesn't swivel, like, at all.
Oh, okay.
So it just has two set angles that you can put it at or set it flat. It's not like in there just like kind of hanging.
Right.
It's like a set thing, so it doesn't move at all.
That makes sense.
Yeah, so like I said, it sounded really, really good. Definitely loud enough to fill you know, small to medium sized room, no problem. Yeah, it's a good little Bluetooth speaker. I love Bluetooth speakers. They're like the best thing ever.
It is one of the better inventions of the 21st century.
Oh, I think it's one of the better implementations of Bluetooth, just because it allows you to, one, not have, you know, I had iPods and things in the past, and you'd have to have the iPod dock, which means that you had to go over to the dock and change a song or pause it, or you know what I mean? And that your iPod always had to be on that dock. You know, with Bluetooth now, one, you can use any device, so it's not limited to Apple products or whatever it may be, and that you could be walking around and you could have your phone in your pocket, and you can change the song, you can pause the song, you can do whatever you want, and that these are all rechargeable, you know, that you can take...
The lithium-ion part is great.
Yeah, you can take them with you, like if you're having like a cookout or your bonfire with friends or something like that, especially now, like summertime, these are great for, you know, parties and get-togethers, because you can just throw it in your bag, take it with you. Again, and they all usually have playback time of at least 10 hours. This one has 15.
It seems like they're a lot more like water-resistant and tougher than like... boomboxes and stuff used to be too.
Yeah, that's a big thing. Not this one specifically, but obviously ones we reviewed in the past. You know, you can drop them, all that kind of stuff. Especially with this too, with that stand, that kind of helps it too if you do drop it, because it's gonna, more than likely it's gonna, you know, knock off the stand. So you wouldn't have that issue. But yeah, these are just really great. So like if you know, summertime, if you're looking for a summertime gadget to get something that's really gonna kind of, you can actually use. Outside of being inside, a Bluetooth speaker is a great investment. I have a ton because I review them. I think I have one in every room of my house, just because of the fact that I listen to music a lot, especially like, you know, when I'm cleaning, doing dishes, all that kind of stuff. When I'm, you know, taking photos for reviews, I just like to have music on, and it's so easy. Turn them on, they sync to your phone, and you can start listening to music right away. So yeah, definitely check that out. Groovy A from Luxa 2. And before we get to news, I'm already for the news already. I'm just kind of just going. But we have our Case Mod Friday, which if you've been listening to the podcast or you're familiar with the site, is each week we feature a case mod that's been completed in the community. And it's not just mods necessarily. We do cover a lot of builds as well, because I think some people take a lot of due diligence in just putting together parts, especially water cooling builds and things like that, that just look really great. Not a whole lot of necessarily modding. So this week we have, it's called Project Prodigious. I think I'm saying that right.
Close enough.
It's a little bit of an older mod that I found. I actually, this past week, I went out and I was just looking for some pretty crazy mods. And the BitPhoenix Prodigy is the case that it's based off of. And that was, what was it, like last year, was one of the most popular cases, I feel.
I
really like this mod because it's just a little different from Prodigy mods. And the person, let me find their name. It's Adam Ski 07. What he actually talked to is, he was like, this is kind of like freestyle modding. I'm kind of just going to do whatever as it comes along to me, which I felt was kind of cool. You know, a lot of people usually just have an idea for their mod and they kind of just go with it.
Right.
And he did something completely different than that. So this is, you know, totally
build as you go.
Yeah, this is kind of, you know, build as you go, and I think it turned out really great. He actually added, he completely redid the top of the case. He completely redid the front of the case and the two side panels. It was really, really cool, I think. Just the way it turned out, I think it looked. Yeah. It was just different. All the Prodigy mods are just, you know, they all kind of are the same. What he actually did too is he turned the motherboard straight. Well, he kind of modified the entire case to fit a micro ATX motherboard. Typically, the BitPhoenix Prodigy fits mini ATX. So right. He completely changed that. He made the motherboard be vertical instead of horizontal. Did a lot of cool stuff with it. I think, you know, for somebody who was just kind of modding as they go, I think it turned out quite well, and I think it looks really good.
Definitely did a good job. Custom paint.
Yeah, he painted the
custom panels, as you mentioned.
Yeah, he painted the entire case. Obviously, custom water cooling loop, all that kind of stuff. Just a cool little build. I mean, I would definitely like to have this sitting on my desk compared to the just plain Jane case that I have. So yeah, definitely go ahead and check that out. And we do have a full section of these. We cover them once a week, and we've been doing it for a while now. So if you're into case modding or maybe want some ideas for case mods, you can go ahead and go in there and kind of see what we have. So definitely go ahead and check that out. And now we will move on to news. And I would call this AMD week again. We had AMD week a couple weeks ago, I think, too. Because most of our stories are AMD related. Almost all of them. Just because the AMD 300 series is supposedly supposed to launch next week, the 16th?
Yes,
Tuesday. Yeah, Tuesday. So we'll definitely get into that. But before we do, we have an NVIDIA story, which is actually quite cool. It lets us know that NVIDIA is kind of working on the next thing, is that they taped out their Pascal GP100 silicon. So this is the chip that's going to replace the GM200 that the Titan X is based off of. This is their big boy chip. And what a tape out is what they do is they create, you know, a small run of these chips for internal testing and like that. They're more or less like working prototypes of the chip. So these have been taped out. And it's kind of cool just because, you know, that means that NVIDIA is working on it. They're not just kind of sitting back. You know, they're working on it. They're getting the prototypes made. They're testing and kind of getting it all done. The chip is going to feature High Bandwidth Memory 2, which is the second iteration of High Bandwidth Memory. That's actually going to allow 32 gigabytes of memory on each card. That's the maximum. I don't think we'll see that with Pascal at all. But you will see higher, you know, because again,
definitely not consumer stuff.
Yeah, definitely not consumer stuff, but that's what HBM2 allows. The speculated CUDA core count on this is 4,500 to 6,000 CUDA cores.
Which is insane.
Yeah, and the chip is going to be fabricated with TSMC's 16 nanometer process. Definitely cool just to see that, you know, NVIDIA is working on the next big thing. They're not just kind of sitting back, which they could easily do.
yeah. So, plenty of tech to sell us in the meantime.
Yeah, so so that just means it's in the process. They're testing the chip, and it's kind of just going to go from there. So that's all the NVIDIA news for the week. And we're going to go through a bunch of AMD stories, especially with the 300 series and Fury X. So we'll start with all the Fury stories. The Fury lineup was kind of detailed. We're not exactly sure. This is all kind of rumors kind of right now. But it looks like we will have three different AMD Fury cards. So there'll be a Fury Pro, a Fury XT, and a Fury Nano. So they've done this in the past with their higher-end cards. It's nothing different. I sort of assumed that we weren't going to see just one Fury card. I kind of assumed that we'd see a couple different ones.
Yeah, we kind of thought there would just be like a water-cooled and an air-cooled version.
Yeah. It's expected to see three different Fury cards. We don't really know that much else about them at this point.
Right. As far as performance or even configuration, really.
Yeah, and what the different ones and what one is going to be actually launched. A lot of people are saying that the Fury. Let me try to get the. I'm trying to find it in this. Okay, so yeah, the lineup, of course, is going to go Fury XT will be the highest end card, Fury Pro will be a step down, and then Fury Nano. Which we assume is going to be even smaller than these cards. It's kind of interesting. And the performance difference. So maybe like Fury XT will go against the Titan X. The Fury Pro will go against the 980 Ti, and the Fury Nano will go against the 980. Maybe.
Yeah. Or it's just the three iterations of the same card all
with different
top end.
With different coolers or different type of thing. Yeah. Not exactly sure. Again,
we do tend to see a lot of variation from AMD in their cards.
Yeah. So it'll be kind of interesting to see what kind of comes out next week. And again, all these stories that we're going to be covering, I would say the next 20 minutes are all about kind of what's kind of going to happen. So. The Fury card, or one of the Fury cards, was actually pictured. The first leak this week was actually just renders of the MSI-branded Fury. And it looks pretty much the same.
A little dip on the corner.
Yeah, so the corners are a little bit more rounded. I'm not sure if that was just... we're not even sure if these are real renders. yeah. Again, we see a lot of leaked stuff that might not be real. One thing that this kind of confirmed to us, too, is that... off the bat, there's not going to be custom versions of the Fury card, which is kind of like the Titan X originally. Yeah, you just have
NVIDIA-like.
You just have reference cards, and that's it. The second leak of pictures were actually real pictures. They weren't renders, so we could actually see the card. The first. Kind of set of pictures show it installed in a system, and we actually get our first look at the dual BIOS switch, which is something we've seen on cards for a while now. But the dual BIOS switch actually it's actually kind of cool. So it will allow you to obviously have two different BIOSes. One could be an overclocked one, you could have one that's referenced, That's on the card. We actually get a look at the backplate, so there is a backplate compared to the Titan X, which does not have a backplate. But the backplate is very boring. It's just all black. That is it.
This one is.
Yeah. The PCB of the card is black, which is kind of cool. Yeah, so that looks good. We can see the actual cooler in a couple of these shots as well. Again, 120 millimeter radiator. And the picture that was leaked shows a gray fan on it. Which we've actually been hearing rumors that AMD is making the fans on each card different colors. each batch is a different color, so they know who leaked the photos. Not exactly
how
sure.
How easy would it be to just swap out the fan, though?
That's very true. Not exactly sure. But these are actually real photos. We kind of have now, because it's a week away, we really have a good idea of what the card's going to look like completely, and how big it's going to be, all that kind of stuff. It's weird.
I'm thinking we're looking at some engineering versions possibly on some of these.
Yeah, on some of these leaks, it kind of does look like that. Yeah. But it's kind of weird for me to see this new high-end card coming in that's small. That's just odd to me. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. It's almost smaller than the cooler.
Yeah, it's very weird. But it's kind of... I like the step in that direction, obviously. And yeah. With high bandwidth memory making that possible and all that kind of stuff. It's cool, but it's just so weird to me. Because, you know, when you're...
It feels like you're... It feels like a lower to mid-range card. Really more like a lower-end card, like a... Like from like the 560 series,
yeah,
the 60 series from Nvidia, they're about that size, so that's what it feels like to me. But I mean, getting that amount of performance in that size package is just awesome.
Yeah, it's very very cool, but it's you know, we're so used to the highest end cards being crazy, you know, being
massive.
Yeah, being massive and big and all that kind of stuff, and this kind of it's not, and it's kind of weird that way.
Do you think we'll see a lot of changes with cases to like? As the cards move in this direction, or we'll just keep them big. To
I think, they've made a lot of small cases that actually fit large cards, anyways.
Right.
And we don't really exactly know how Nvidia's, you know, high bandwidth memory implementation is going to be, because it's not going to be the exact same as AMD. So we still could see larger cards. You know what I mean? And again, we still can see larger cards too, because. You know, when we see custom versions of cards, they're going to have, you know, high bandwidth, or they're going to have, you know, custom VRMs and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And the cards that that aren't water cooled and the higher end Fury series are going to need a pretty beefy cooler too. So I think they're going to still, while the PCB might be smaller, the cooler's still going to take up a lot of space.
Okay.
Yeah. So we'll move on from. Pictures, and we'll go into some benchmarks that were leaked this week. The first benchmark that was leaked was an OpenCL benchmark, which it kind of showed that the Fury X, I guess if that's what you want to call it, it beat the Titan X in some tests, and then
the first test it beats it like handily,
yeah,
just completely outright by like several hundred points.
Yeah, and then the second two tests, the Titan X wins. Again, these are synthetic. These aren't a real representation of real gaming or anything like that. Again, it's OpenCL testing. So it kind of gives us an idea of the performance, kind of what, you know, it just any test, obviously, when you're testing cards, gives you an idea of performance. But again, these are just synthetic tests. One thing that it did, this benchmark did kind of uncover, is that the card will have 64 compute units. So if they haven't changed our architecture, which we're assuming they haven't, there are 64 cores in each compute unit, which means the card will have 4,096 stream cores total.
That's cool.
So that was the last really piece of information we were looking for as far as the specs of the card. Yeah. So we kind of have that confirmed because of this benchmark.
A little more idea of the raw processing power.
Yeah, so it was kind of cool because that was one of the big thing of this news story, really, that a lot of people kind of looked at. They really weren't concerned about the benchmarks yet.
Yeah.
They're more concerned that the compute units were actually listed, and that gives us the total of 4,096 stream cores. Cool. So the second one is 3D Mark, which of course is more of a gaming benchmark than the OpenCL benchmarks. And it was kind of interesting that the Fury card was slightly beat out by Titan X. And it was interesting that the Fury card did a little bit better in the 4K benchmark. But it didn't do as good in the It didn't do as good when you moved the graphics preset down. It didn't do as well as the Titan X. So the Titan X did much better, 1080p, 440p. But when it came up to 4K, the Fury beat the card. Beat the Titan X.
It's got to get up to the memory there.
Yeah.
Definitely faster. Obviously the high bandwidth memory is going to be faster, and they have plenty of it on there, so
yeah,
it would enable the higher resolution is going to perform better that way, and just the in and outs into the memory, the loading is going to be faster with that new memory, so makes sense.
Yeah, so it's kind of again, it's just it's I guess if you're looking at 4K, I mean, if, again, these are all preliminary benchmarks with drivers that aren't completed, or
and we don't know how AMD's or how it's gonna do in the wild with real games.
Yeah,
and stuff
so it's, again, these two performance leaks that we've seen, it's kind of gonna be on par with the Titan X. But again, if you look at the prices, this card is, which we're gonna get into, this card is going to be cheaper than the Titan X.
Okay.
So there's that. But again, then there's power consumption. There's everything you kind of want to look at when it comes to these cards. But as far as performance, what we've seen, these are the two really leaked benchmarks that we've seen, that it's going to be pretty much on par with the Titan X by, you know, Titan X beats it in some tests. The Fury X beats the Titan X in some tests. So it's kind of back and forth, really. Again, if you're looking at either of the cards, I would just wait till next week. We assume that we'll have some real good...
Yeah, I would think by Tuesday, immediately after launch, we'll have some actual real-world gaming testing, and that's really what's important, to see whether the drivers are going to bring it all together.
Yeah, so that's kind of what we... You know, we're kind of looking for. But again, these, you know, kind of leaked benchmarks give us a good idea of what's going on. So one more thing we're going to talk about. There's been a bunch of different rumors with the Fury related cards. We kind of put them all together and are going to talk about them. One is that the Fury X will be limited to 30,000 units this year. Which sort of makes sense, because the yields on high bandwidth memory haven't been that great. You know, that would kind of, it's going to, and that would make the Fury X a very hard card to get, because 30,000 isn't a whole lot at all
when you're talking worldwide.
You know,
it'll probably be sold out right away.
Yeah, it's kind of one of those things. It's sort of like, you know, when I guess, you know, when like the new iPhone comes out, they only have so many because the production isn't there yet. Same type of thing. So that's an interesting rumor. Another interesting rumor is that the slower Fury models, the Fury Pro and Fury Nano, are kind of delayed right now, which is weird.
Like it was an afterthought, maybe.
Maybe it was an afterthought, or that the Fury X, which will be the higher end card, looks to be the only one that AMD is not allowing custom boards. So like the Fury Pro will allow custom boards, and maybe the Fury Nano. According to
the, or maybe they're, do you think maybe they're limited to just custom boards?
That's what I mean. According to this rumor, is that a lot of board partners aren't done making their custom boards for this. You know what I mean? So it's going to be delayed off the bat. That's kind of the thing. Again, according to this rumor, is that there's going to be no air-cooled Fury X. So the highest-end one, it has to be water-cooled. Okay. So like the Fury Pro, which will be a kind of a step down in performance, you'll get the air cooling with that and the custom boards with that. But the Fury X, you're not going to – that's not going to happen.
It's got to be water-cooled. Yeah. I wonder if it's just too hot.
It could be. I mean, we know AMD kind of has a reputation of that.
Yeah.
That is... Oh, we have one more. Is that the Fury X will launch on June 18th instead of the 16th.
Okay.
So at the Fury X is not going to launch at the E3 PC gaming event on the 16th. It will, according to this rumor again, that it's just going to give us a glimpse of the card, and the actual launch will take place 2 days later. And then the reviews won't be able to be released till June 24th. I'm not sure. But all of these rumors make it sound like AMD is kind of in trouble with this.
you know, like they're really struggling to bring it.
Yeah, so like, things aren't done and all that kind of stuff, which is typical for AMD, I would say. That is kind of rounds up our coverage this week of AMD's Radeon Fury line. We'll move to the 300 series line. We'll start with pricing of the 300 series line, which we talked about pricing last week, and turned out that rumor was completely wrong. These are all confirmed prices.
Yeah, much higher.
Yeah, so these are all confirmed prices. So the highest end would be the R9 390X, which is the 8-gig card, which is a Hawaii XT rebrand. That will be $389.
Which is more than the 290X, I believe.
A little bit. Which would make sense. But it's lower. Yeah, well, it's lower than the 290X when it launched.
Okay.
But
it is a rebrand, so you'd kind of expect that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So, but the thing is, you're getting the bump up to 8 gigs of
Yeah.
And that, even though it's a rebrand, they could have, you know, they've come up with new names for the GPU, so they could have made some enhancements. We're not exactly sure until somebody gets their hand on the card and they can kind of play around with it.
Yeah, I guess we'll just have to wait and see.
Yeah, but these are very aggressive pricing for the cards, I feel. All the way down the board, really. I think AMD knows that they're going to have to move these cards because everybody, at least who's in the know, knows that these are just rebrands.
Yeah.
And I think the thing that is going to sell these cards is going to be all of these cards are going to be allowed to have aftermarket versions, you know, custom versions. And I think the custom versions are going to be what sells the card.
Hopefully we have some pretty cool designs.
Yeah, so we have the price list listed on the website all the way down the board. So if you want to take a look at that, you can. We'll move on from that. And we have some pictures of an XFX Radeon R9 390, which they... what's it called? Which they posted on their website, which was kind of interesting. So what they did was in one of their R9 290 pages, they they showed a picture of the of the R9 390X on their R9 290 product page. I think it was, this is one of the things that they were like, okay, we're gonna leak this, you know. Obviously oops, we did this. It was like, okay, this is kind of how we're gonna do it. So I don't know how people find these things, but somebody
who's got the time,
yeah, somebody kind of looked at it and they were just like, oh, here it is. And so it has a, if you're familiar with XFX cards, it kind of has their same kind of design, but at the same time, it the cooler is, it has the kind of diamond designed on it rather than the kind of flat design that they had. But this is definitely the card. It's not a mess up. The box graphics are different as well. So, yeah, you have all of that there. So this is kind of the first real big leak as far as pictures of this card that are from an actual manufacturer. Because, again, this was listed on their website, which is kind of funny.
Yeah.
So.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Just a little more, a little taste.
So talking about that exact same card, that card, somebody who works for Best Buy took an exact same picture of the box that was leaked earlier this week. And they have a real picture of the box. Apparently, they work at Best Buy, and they said these cards just came in. It was interesting because they posted all this, and then they deleted their post. But again, somebody took a picture, or you know, saved the picture, screenshotted the actual picture of the box, and screenshotted the actual post on Reddit that this person made. He also said that the card. Has a price of $449, so maybe that's the kind of, we talked $389 for maybe the reference design, and this is obviously a non-reference card from XFX, so maybe $449 is what we'll see for custom versions of the card that probably have an overclock and all that kind of stuff. And he said that the stock date, or when they're actually going to put these in stock, is the 21st. So, yeah, kind of interesting to see all this stuff. Again, all of these leaks means that we're just getting closer and closer to when we're actually going to see these cards for real.
Yeah.
So
as people start to feel they're not going to get in as much trouble.
Yeah. So the next one is we also got a first look at the R7 370, which is the lower end card. And it looks like AMD is kind of going with the same type of design with this whole line. This card sort of looks like the Fury cards, but again, it's longer and it has, of course, a blower style fan. But the actual shroud cover kind of looks like the same cover that's on the Fury X, which I kind of like. I like the
kind of rubberized with the holes in it.
Yeah, I kind of like that compared to what we saw with the 200 series. I kind of like this a lot better. So we kind of just got a look at that, and they changed the naming. So the 200 series was called the R9 270. And now they're changing it to the R7 just because there's such a difference in performance that they kind of had to drop it down to the R7 naming.
Yeah. It helps.
Yeah. So, yep. It's kind of boring, but yeah.
Yeah, it's a card.
Yeah, it's a card.
750, about equal to a 750 Ti, but a little faster.
Yeah, according to their reports, according to AMD, the leaked slide is that it's going to be a little bit faster than NVIDIA's GeForce GTX 750 Ti. So
it's a good, really entry level card.
Yeah,
I would guess.
Yeah, for sure. And then a last little piece of graphics card news is actually really cool. This came out the week of Computex, but it wasn't really covered that much. Probably because just Computex was just overwhelming with news. Is that ASUS announced that they are the first card manufacturer to fully automate their card production process. So if you didn't know, when you're getting a graphics card from any manufacturer, really, is that the boards themselves, while a lot of the boards are, you know, automated, a lot of the PCB is actually made by a robot or a machine, that a lot of the components, especially the MOSFETs and VRMs and everything, are put on by hand, which obviously isn't a horrible thing, but there's a lot of human error. The design of the board is a little bit more messier because it's done by hand. So what ASUS has done is they completely automated the process. So they took the human part out of it, and it's all done by computers and robots and everything, which actually makes the PCBs much neater. It looks a lot nicer. There's no room for human error at all, because people do get cards that are just dead just because something happens or cards die. And, of course, you don't want that. You know what I mean? You don't want...
That's the worst thing ever, getting a DOA.
Yeah, so this kind of eliminates that problem. According to ASUS, they're the first in the industry to do this. I mean, it actually makes it a lot. There's no oxidation, so there's the environment that the cards are being built in is much more environmentally friendly as well. We actually have a video on our post kind of going through the whole process and how they've done it and why it's, you know, leads to less failure and all that kind of stuff. But it's actually pretty cool. We don't really get a lot of posts like this, and I think if you're interested in kind of to see how your graphics card is built, this is something you should definitely check out.
Yeah.
So definitely
manufacturing side.
The
soldering and all the real exciting stuff.
Yeah. So go ahead and check that out again. There is a video on the post for that. And the Steam summer sale is actually going on now. But it was leaked earlier this week, the actual dates, which are June 11th through June 21st. The Steam summer sale is awesome. It is where pretty much everything I've always like there's all everything's on sale. Like there's usually like all games are somewhat on sale.
Even brand new titles.
Yeah, brand new titles are on sale. Everything's on sale. So open Steam, keep it open. Each day they have different sales, they have different things going on, different promotions. I always buy games during the Steam summer sale just because it's even if it's a game that I might not play. I mean, you can get games that are normally like $30, $40 for $5. It's the most popular Steam sale of all year. They have different sales for Halloween and Christmas and all that kind of stuff. But the summer sale is the big one. And again, it's summertime, so a lot of people are off school and they don't have much to do and they're going to be playing games. And if you want to pick up a new game, definitely go ahead and check out the Steam summer sale. It was leaked by PayPal. which is kind of funny because they sent out an email saying the Steam summer sale, you know, use your PayPal account to do it. And
they had the dates
they leaked the dates before it happened, which is kind of funny. But I haven't even looked at it. I should probably open Steam. But
looking through it right now, there's some decent titles in here right now. All the Metro games, Sniper Elite, Grand Theft Auto. I believe that's just the original one right now.
Yeah, I begin.
I'm hoping 4 or 5 to be put on there personally.
Yeah. So what I do is the games that I want, I put on my wish list, and then when they go on sale, it actually sends you an email if you wanted to do that.
Nice.
Yeah. So that's kind of what I do for my games. But yeah, it's going on. I'll probably pick up a cut. It's cool because a lot of games that are on sale are like indie titles too, and pick up some really cool games. I've done that. I've picked up a bunch of cool games. Like they're like 99 cents, like $1.99.
This one that's $1.49.
Yeah, so
where you can just risk it, but a lot of them tend to be or end up being awesome games.
Yeah, that you really wouldn't think you'd play, but there's just times where you're just like, end of the night, I don't want to sit in front of the TV, but maybe I want to play a game, or you know, I need to take a break from you know, doing some work. I'll just play a game, and it's just like something new that you can pick up that you paid a couple bucks for.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Steam sale is the time of the year where I spend a bunch of money on building my library, and generally don't play most of them.
I usually at least sit down and play a couple games. Do you? Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Good for you. I mean, really. I probably have games in here from like 3 years Steam sales, like 3 years ago, that I've probably even installed them at one point or another, but never played them.
Yeah, I don't play a lot of games these days, just because I'm so busy. Obviously, yeah. The go-tos for us, or at least for me, is always like Payday 2. What else do I play? I'm trying to think.
I've always got a shooter of some sort.
Yeah, Payday is usually my shooter, and it's kind of fun because you're like robbing banks and kind of doing that stuff. I'm trying to think what else I play. I played all the way through Max Payne 3 a couple of months ago. That's a really good game. The story's actually pretty good. It's obviously a single player game. I like that a lot. Honestly,
it seems like there was a certain city builder you played.
Oh
recently.
Yeah, how could I even forget that? I was really addicted. I haven't even touched it, which is probably a good thing. I feel.
Oh, you're a poor citizen.
Yeah, so I was playing. What was it?
City Skylines.
Yeah, City Skylines. I was really addicted to it for a while. But now that it's summer and I like to be outside the house, I haven't touched it. I might get back into it. You never know. My city was massive, though. which is kind of awesome.
Yeah.
I should actually play it now because like I installed a new graphics card this week in my main system. So
nice.
Not like a new graphics card, but just the one because the other one died.
Oh, well, at least bump some of your settings up.
Yeah. So I went from this is kind of sad because like I run a tech site, but I don't for my main system. That's like the system I use to use the web, but I do play some games on it. It had a GTX 570 in it. And I upgraded to a 680, which isn't that great. It's just cards I had laying around that I don't use the test with. But all the other good cards are on the test bench, so I don't really touch those. But
leave those fresh.
Yeah, so this is just like, you know, what I use to kind of get me through the day. So,
yeah.
But that 570, it just died. So.
Yeah.
But
probably had a good life.
Yeah, it did. It lasted a good time. Played a lot of good games on it, so. We'll move on to our last news stories. This is actually pretty cool. We've seen customizable keyboards before. A few years ago, the big thing was the OLED screens on each key, which is kind of awesome, which means like if you open up an application, all your keys will actually change to maybe shortcuts for that, or you could customize it completely. The thing about OLED screens is they're very expensive. Those keyboards now sell for like $1,200. Which is quite a lot. They look awesome. Razer has a keyboard that has a section of OLED keys. I think it's like 5. And that keyboard's like $300 too, and you're only getting 5 keys. So this company called Sonder Design, they've come up with what they call the Sonder keyboard. It's a Mac-based keyboard, so it looks like if you've seen the Mac aluminum keyboard, it's made to look exactly like that. But 50 of the 78 keys are fully customizable using e-ink, which we've seen in tablets and other things like that. Actually looks...
Yeah, like your Kindle?
Yeah, it actually looks pretty cool. And they've made it pretty inexpensive. They're taking pre-orders now, and it will be $199, which I don't feel is that expensive.
I don't either, actually. At first, I was like,
And I think
that's kind of a lot, but then... I don't think so, actually.
Yeah, because, again, it's just fully customizable. So, again, we put... some examples on our post, like Photoshop. You can see all the shortcuts that you could make. Obviously, with Half-Life, all the shortcuts that you could make as well. It's really cool. It's going to be Mac only to start. I think that their audience is not necessarily gamers as much as people who use Adobe type programs, designers.
Yeah, like professionals.
Yeah, because they actually do. I see a lot of people, a lot of my friends who work in design houses and things like that, is that they actually get like keyboard covers that have the shortcuts mm-hmm. for Adobe, different Adobe programs and things like that. This kind of makes it even better and allows you, as soon as you open up the program, the keys are actually going to change into something else, which I think is pretty cool.
Yeah, like a lot of video editors will actually have video editing boards and stuff for their Macs. So, and those are expensive boards, actually.
Yeah.
So this is, I think that's actually a really good price for it.
Yeah. So it's kind of like, again, it's being developed. It's not fully ready yet. Again, you can pre-order it, but it's just something that really caught my eye this week as far as tech news. And it's, again, the e-ink is going to bring the cost down because we've seen this before. This isn't anything that new. It's just that instead of using OLEDs, they're using e-ink, which I think is, again, less expensive. But again, you can't do colors with e-ink, but
right.
I don't think that's a huge deal, really.
But I think you could... I don't either. I think you can definitely get by with what they got.
Yeah.
Especially considering the price savings.
Yeah. So, that is the news for the week. All right, yes. That is
yes.
The news for the week. Again, a lot of AMD stuff. Again, it's a week before launch, so sorry if we were kind of repetitive on a lot of that stuff, but it's the week before the launch,
yeah.
So this is where we're going to see all of the leaks. Next week, I have some cool stuff I'm actually checking out. I am taking a look at the Gigabyte X99 Gaming 5P motherboard. So this is an X99 motherboard. It's Gigabyte's gaming motherboard. They've kind of they had an X99 Gaming 5. And the new version okay. is called the 5P. It has a lot of better things. The biggest thing that it has is that when the X99 motherboards came out, Asus figured out that the CPU socket only had 2011 pins, which makes sense. But the Asus's socket was called the Asus OC socket because it had 283 pins.
Right.
It allowed for more stable overclocking and everything like that, and then everybody's like, oh, okay. So Gigabyte has added that to this board, and they've made some improvements as well compared to the old X99 Gaming. So this is the X99 Gaming 5P. Again, it's their gaming board. It has a lot of gaming-centric features, which, of course, I will go into in my full review, so I'm pretty excited to be – I'm actually testing it now. Good-looking
cool.
board, a lot of cool features. You will see it on the site next week.
Those extra pins really will make a difference.
Yes, they will for overclocking. Yes. Next, I have the Mushkin Reactor 512 gigabyte solid state drive. So this comes from Mushkin. Again, 512 gig drive. It's based off of the Silicon Motion controller. I can't think of the actual the long name of the controller. But it should be a good drive. I'm trying to think of the actual specs on it. 560 megabytes a second read and 460 megabytes a second write. So pretty fast drive. Here, I found it. It's the Silicon Motion SM2246EN. That is the controller that it's based off of. Comes with a 3-year warranty. It should be a pretty good... it should be just a pretty good drive. We've seen a lot of these drives. Again, we're not seeing massive speed increases with these drives, but because of the SATA 3 kind of bottleneck, a lot of companies have come back, and now these controllers offer better features, better power saving.
They're more consistent.
Yeah, more consistent, not all over the place. That's kind of what we're kind of going into. So this is one of those drives. I'm excited to see how it does. Comes with a 3-year warranty, all that kind of stuff. So... yeah.
Should be right up there with some of the better ones.
Yes, for sure. I'm taking a look at a CPU cooler, air cooler, since you do all of the water cooling. It is the Sith Tatsumi. It's more of an entry-level cooler, made to be a little bit better than the Intel stock cooler, but it should do pretty well. It's a smaller cooler. I've taken a look at a lot of the larger coolers recently. Mm-hmm. So this is a smaller one. I'm going to be installing it today So we'll see how that goes. Hopefully installation's easy. The Sith coolers typically have been quite easy to install. They all use the same mounting system that I've seen. Almost all their coolers use the same mounting system.
Nice. I like when they
do that. So it's kind of, I'm kind of used to doing it. I can just do it. It's very easy. So it should be good. I'm interested to see how this smaller cooler performs on our Sokka 2011 system. So
is this kind of a like a Hyper 212 equivalent?
Yes. So it's okay. It's, well, I mean, I obviously haven't tested it, but it's, yeah, it's
should be, yeah, same price range, yeah, same style.
Yeah, so it should be cool. Like that. And then finally, I'm taking a look at a gaming headset, which means I will be playing some games this week. So I might get back into City Skylines. You never know.
Get that Steam sale up.
Yeah, so or get a new game through a Steam sale. But yeah. It is the TTE Sports Shock 3D 7.1 headset. This is a virtual 7.1 surround sound headset. Looks to be pretty comfortable. I did the unboxing the other day. Nice looking headset. We'll see how it does.
Those ear cups look awesome.
Yeah, very, very big ear cups, all that kind of stuff. Obviously, with TTE Sports, the all their stuff looks pretty nice. It performs pretty well, you know, too. So it'll be interesting to test that out. Right now, I use, for my headset, I use the, what's it, Kingston Cloud 2, the HyperX Cloud 2, which has been my favorite gaming headset out of all the ones I've really reviewed this year. So hopefully we'll see if it will beat it out. I'm not a huge fan of the whole 7.1 virtual surround sound. I typically don't use it that much. But it's actually quite cool to use in first person shooter type games and all that.
So long as it works.
Yeah, so long as it works well. And this is virtual. So we'll see. But that is it for what's coming up next week. And one thing that we talked about last week, but that part of the podcast got cut off because I have no clue, to be honest. something with the software, I have no clue why I cut it off, but we got cut off last week at the end of our news, so we didn't really get to talk about it, so we'll talk about it this week, is that we're looking for writers and reviewers and all that kind of fun stuff. So what, I guess, I don't know, Derek, you want to talk about, you know, writing for Think Computers and how much you actually like it, don't hate it?
It's the worst thing you could possibly do. If we're being honest, don't waste your time. Bob is ruthless. Products are terrible. No, but it's a lot of fun, to be honest. You got to be a techie though. I mean, you got to be into hardware, because that's really the for me, that's the most fun, is just seeing new products and stuff all the time. Not necessarily having to go out and buy something, but you just get to play around with tech, and then being able to write is obviously very important. So you've got to enjoy writing, because you're going to be doing that a lot.
Yes, we have seen a lot of people have asked me to write, and then we get a couple of their sample articles, and they just can't. There's a lot of people who are awesome at tech. They're so smart, but they can't relate it through their writing.
Right.
Yeah. So that's one of the reasons that we're looking for some new people, and I'm trying to get a lot of the. Because, like I said, this week I did most of the reviews. I'm trying to kind of limit the amount of reviews that I'm doing and kind of put that onto some other people, obviously. And always looking for news writers, because there's always so much tech news going on. So if you are interested, you can go ahead and hit us up on the website. There's a contact us page. You can do it that way. Or, you know, go to our Facebook and send us a message anyway. We are like a kind of tight-knit little group that we have going on. And we do get to go to cool events like CES and all that stuff too.
It's a cool group.
So if you're interested, go ahead and do that. And then always at the end of the podcast, we talk about something that you did this week. I know I didn't kind of prep you for that earlier, so I don't know.
No, I'm good.
You have something?
I'm good this week.
Oh, man.
Well, yeah. Well, not this week, but since the last one.
Okay, so what did...
So you want me to go first?
Sure.
Okay, so I saw this preview for a show called Mr. Robot. I think it was in like the pre-movie preview for a movie I was watching. Okay. And it was like, you know, it looks like a hacker show. So I was like, you know, I'm into that kind of thing. I might as well check it out. They're usually, you know, horrible, but we'll check it out anyways. And I found it. There's a pre-episode, you know, it's not the actual, it'll be the first episode. The show hasn't launched yet, but it's available on demand through Comcast. So I watched it, and it was like 64 minutes long, and it was actually amazing.
So I'm looking at their, I didn't mean to interrupt you. But I'm looking at the IMDb for it. It says, Mr. Robot is an upcoming American drama psychological thriller television series created by Sam S-Mail. The series schedule will begin on June 24th. That's the right one, right? Yeah.
Yep, so it starts June 24th. But so it's like and when you're into like tech and stuff, you like know the language that they should be using and stuff, you know, whether it's like, you know, just kind of faked or not.
Yeah.
And so like I'm watching this and like it's all like actually really, really good. I'm not like a hacker, but as far as I could tell, like it seemed pretty legit, like the security and stuff.
It has a 9.4 star rating on IMDb out of 9,670 users, so that's really high. Like if IMDb is usually like movies that are actually really, really good get like a 6. And same with TV shows.
There's so many cynics.
Yeah, so a 9.4. I'm gonna have to check this out. I love.
So it's like. It's tech meets like Requiem for a Dream.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, it like so you're watching it and like because there's no way you can fill like 64 minutes with just solid tech. You know? It actually wound up being like either really boring or just overplayed. But this just like it takes it to other places and it's awesome.
That is actually quite cool. I'm definitely gonna have to check that out. And it's tech related, which is actually really cool because a lot of the stuff we talk about isn't tech related at the end of the show.
It's just geek stuff.
Yeah, so that's awesome. I will bookmark this.
The only problem is that it's 64 minutes long, Bob. You can't watch that at lunch.
I know. If you guys have listened to this podcast, I talked about that I have to watch a half an hour show at lunch because I can't stop watching certain things. I'm weird like that. So. Well, if I don't do anything tonight, which is Friday, which I probably will do something, but if I don't, I will go ahead and watch this and order some awesome Chinese food, probably.
There you go.
Dude, there's this place, and again, we're getting way off anything, but dude, there's this place. You know the place we went to in Vegas? What was it called? I think it's called Noodle Number 8. It's in, if anybody goes to Vegas, it's called... something new.
It's in Caesars.
Caesars. You'll see it because it's like this crazy white inside. It's like crazy. It's like really bright inside. I think it's called something
Noodle Number 9
or something like that. Well, there's a place that just opened by me that has like real authentic Chinese food.
Oh yeah, Beijing Noodle.
Yeah, Noodle Number 9. But the place by me is called Chengdu Gourmet, and it just opened recently. So I ordered from them like a couple weeks ago. But like, it's real authentic. Like a lot of the stuff that we got there. Which is like made to be authentic, real, like what they actually serve in, you know, in China, not like General Tso's and Orange Chicken, and because that's like Americanized. Like this is very, and they have. So what's funny about this restaurant is they have their American Chinese menu, and then they have their like traditional Chinese menu. So I ordered obviously off the traditional Chinese menu, and it was awesome. It's so good. So, anyways. That was my little rant, but that wasn't my thing for this week.
I wish
week.
I had that here.
That wasn't my thing for this week. My thing for this week is that I finally went out and I watched Entourage, which you said you saw as well.
Yeah, I saw it.
Which I've been a fan of the TV show forever. The movie was awesome. I've heard that it's not doing that well in the box office, which makes sense because it's based off of a TV show, and not everybody...
It was never going to do good.
Yeah, I think it was just a fun thing to do. It's just like, it kind of felt like another episode. It didn't...
Yeah, they never really ended it, the TV show, correctly, really.
Yeah.
It kind of just stopped, so this was kind of a wrap-up, you think?
It's still not completely wrapped up. I don't know. They kind of wrapped it up how they could, I guess. It was obviously great to see all the guys... You know, back together.
Oh, yeah.
And The TV show is like a feel good TV show. So after watching the movie, you kind of like felt good, and it's like that type of thing.
There's some pretty stellar calves in it if you're looking for some good calves.
But
the reference you'll get if you watch the show,
you'll get the reference. But yeah, I actually watched. I saw it earlier this week. I went on Tuesday by myself, which is kind of. I just think the first time I've ever gone to a movie by myself, and I went at 12:40 in the middle of the day. It was me and one other person in the theater. It was awesome. It was really, really cool. I kind of actually liked it. It was very relaxing. I hate going to movies like opening night and there's like a bunch of just idiot kids.
People piling in around.
Yeah,
you.
It was just nice to like kind of just spread out and just, you know.
You got to have those seats in front of you so you can put your feet up.
Yeah, so it's just it was really cool. I paid nice. It was $5, which like I guess like their afternoon shows are only $5, but then I paid $14 for like nachos and cheese and a drink. So
of course.
So yeah. It was
I go with my wife to the movies and it's like $60 every time.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, guys, that is it for our podcast. I know we're kind of just, you know, BSing at the end there, but again, on our on the website, we'll have a show notes page that's going to have all the links to everything that we talked about this week. So if you heard something you want, you know, want some more information, you'll have it all right there. And as always, we you know, we appreciate you guys listening. You can obviously listen to this on iTunes. You just type in Think Computers, all one word. You can just stream it directly from the website as well on our podcast section of the website. And until next week, we'll catch you guys later.